All right, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll just be in verses 1 through 4 today. It's good to see everyone again as the vacations are wrapping up and school has begun. So, and fall is upon us, as we felt this morning. I think it was 41 degrees when I got up this morning. So definitely starting to feel a little bit colder than before. So we welcome everyone back. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I won't read it, as Dave has read it earlier. But I want you to imagine with me a man who has this old big barn, and it was built in the 1800s and can store a good amount of stuff in it. And so he has cows and livestock within it, and the hay and grain and equipment. And the barn was very old, and it was starting to fall apart. The wood was becoming weaker and weaker, and some boards were starting to come apart. Now, this old barn kind of reminds me of a time where when I was maybe three, four, or five. But my family owned they rented there on this land that was they're renting from, and there's actually a barn on the land. And so my older brother and I would crawl around the barn as little kids would do. And one time I fell through the boards broke, and I fell through. Well, thankfully I fell into a pile of hay underneath. But my older brother, who might have been 6, 7 at the time, ran to the house yelling, "I killed my brother, I killed Matthew, I killed Matthew." and my parents were kind of shocked by this, but they come to find out all is all right. But this man has that old barn, and so it reminds me of falling through that wood. So this barn has that old wood. And so one day the man decides to stop farming and move on to a different career. And so he sells all of his animals and his equipment, and eventually sold his barn to a wealthy couple. And so the wealthy couple decides to fix it up. And so they decide to turn it into a house and remodel that barn. And so they spend months altering and changing that barn. And finally, that barn turned into a house was completed. And the final product was revealed. And so this barn is now this newly remodeled beauty of a house. And it was just completely transformed. It looked almost totally different. I think of the many different shows now that they have of these transformations of these old barns into a house, or old house into a newly remodeled house as well. And so you see the difference between the old and the new, and they show you this snapshot of what it used to look like. And now you see what the transformation it made. And so like that barn that was just transformed from this old rugged barn into this newly remodeled house, so Christians, our focus needs to be transformed as well. Our minds and our lives are often, they're aimed in the wrong direction. We often look to earthly things. We look to ourselves. And so we wonder why we don't have joy in our Christian life, yet we neglect to see how our orientation in life is faced in the wrong direction. And Paul really calls us to a different way of life, a different way of thinking, and from our old way of life and thinking. So last week we saw that Paul condemned false teaching. It was to be avoided because it wasn't in line with and it wasn't connected with Christ. They weren't holding fast to Christ. And so I brought out the fact that there is danger in wrong belief. And it needs to be rejected, and we need to be redirected back to the cross. And so this false teaching that Paul talked about was man-made. It was useless. It couldn't restrain the indulgence of the flesh, as chapter 2 just ended out. And so though it looked like victory and fulfillment, it actually was severed from the true source of spiritual growth and strength. So as Paul continues on his letter, he contrasts what he just talked about with this new pursuit and this new mindset that we ought to have as Christians. So Paul's focus is now, in light of the truth that he gave in chapters 1 and 2, what should we do about it? How should our mindsets be focused? And so this passage, just verses 1 through 4, kind of like a transitional passage in the letter. So chapters 1 and 2 were extremely theological focused, and we definitely see that focus a little bit in this passage as well. But on the other hand, this passage is very practical, as chapters 3 and 4 end up being. They're very like practical. Okay, what should we do now with our lives in light of this truth? So from this text, we see this call to a transformed focus. There's two ways to have this transformed focus, and the first is to have a heavenly pursuit. We see that in verse 1 of this heavenly pursuit. I think of the Declaration of Independence, and in that it says, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so this pursuit of happiness has been this huge factor in driving Americans for a long time now. And as time goes on, this pursuit of happiness looks different than maybe it was for people when America first started. And it's morphed. But this pursuit is a seeking for, a desire for, a longing for something. Seeking in this outward quest for this object or goal, I'm focused on that. And so the typical American's pursuit is for happiness. And so that search and that drive just motivates them for happiness. So they may have three jobs so that they could buy a new house, so they can buy a new car so as to be happy. Maybe they think, oh, if only I had another child, if only I had another friend, I would be happy. So I pursue that goal. Or maybe they try to get attention on social media so they'll make their lives look good. They'll make their lives look perfect. So then I'll be happy. People will see me differently. So what we pursue and what we seek after shows a lot about us. It shows what drives us, what brings us joy in life. And here Paul shows us we need to have a heavenly pursuit. We need to seek the things that are above. This phrase reminds me of Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So our seeking should be things that are above. The implication is that our search shouldn't be for things below, right? So above doesn't mean that we seek things higher in the air, so it doesn't mean that we seek, you know, our cabinets above and neglect our cabinets below. That's not what he means. But above would be here spiritual things, heavenly things, long for and chase after those things. So it means pursue a deeper knowledge of Christ. Pursue what he has done for you, what it means for you. We need to seek the things above. But why? Why should we seek things above? And Paul just perfectly gives the why for each thing that he says. And he says, first, we're raised with Christ. We're raised with Christ. So Paul doesn't just say, seek the things above because, you know, I'm the Apostle Paul and I said so. But he always goes back to the theological truth of, you know, seek the things above because you're raised with Christ. So if you have been raised, so for us who are Christians, you could essentially say, since you have been raised, seek the things above. For Paul, he wants us to line up our thinking with our seeking, with our new lives in Christ. So if we have been raised with Christ, and we have truly, then seek the things above. Transformation or good change in our lives should always be rooted in the truth. The truth should drive our change. He doesn't just leave us to live a godly life on our own. Paul points us to the fact that gospel truth propels change. Theological truth, when we really understand it and grasp it, it leads us to change. Paul always uses that grid of the gospel, as I said last week, of how he interprets a life and how he sees us to live life. So when we grasp and understand that our new lives are in Christ, then our pursuits are going to be changed. Our pursuits are different. The problem is our pursuits are only as good as our understanding and knowledge of something. So if you think and you believe that happiness is found in collecting material things, things for yourself, then your pursuit of happiness is only found in collecting things. Because your knowledge and your understanding is that's what it is. That's what I believe. But if we understand and know that we have new lives in Christ, then we pursue the things that are above, which corresponds with our new life. Remember how a couple of verses ago, Paul said, it doesn't make sense that you're living as though you never died with Christ. And so we seek things below as though we haven't been raised with Christ. And essentially, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't line up. Paul's whole emphasis is this: be who you are. Be who you are in Christ. So an alligator doesn't act like a penguin, right? You know, you don't really see an alligator doing that. A free person doesn't act like they're in prison. Or at least I hope not. That wouldn't be a fun life. So we are to live and act in relation to who we are in Christ. So if we are raised, seek the things above. The Bible clearly states that one day we will be raised with Christ, receive glorified bodies. This is a future promise for us. But also in another sense, Paul here shows us that we have actually been raised already with Christ. We died with him and we rose with him at our conversion. So our old lives are gone, our new lives are here. And so now we seek the things above accordingly. So our pursuit of spiritual things is because we've been raised with Christ, but also because we have our Lord there. He's there. Christ is above. Christ is in heaven. So seek the things above. I think of a servant of a kingdom. He has this great and amazing king that he loves and he looks up to, he admires. And the king was in the castle and cared all about the castle. So guess what the servant did? He wanted to be in the castle all the time. He wanted to be with his king. He cared about the castle things. He cared about the castle itself because his king was there. And it's what his king really cared about. So with Christians, our Lord is in heaven. And he's seated at the right hand of God. Therefore, our lives should reflect that truth, that our Lord is there. We're reminded that Christ is exalted to this position of prominence, of authority. He's seated and he's in control of all, over all. He's over everything. And so what amazing truth is that we are in connection with our seated Savior who is over all. He's interceding for us. So could you say that you pursue spiritual things? Most often, we don't have a heavenly pursuit, where instead we pursue success, happiness, fame, money. So our pursuits aren't really in line with our new lives. They're not in line with where our Lord is. It's sad but true. We don't live as though Christ is seated at the right hand of God or that we've been raised with him. You need to understand that it's as if we're raised with him. We are with him. So why are you pursuing these earthly things and to yourself? You think of the false teachers that Paul has just condemned, and he talks about how they see themselves as spiritual. They try to make themselves look good to others in what they do. Really, they're pursuing the things below. They're caring about what other people think. They're pursuing this pride and how it works out. But in the end, those things don't matter. Are you pursuing the things that don't matter? Are you seeking things below instead of things above? In your old life, your life revolved around yourself. It was all about you before you became a Christian. Because really, in the end, before you became a Christian, why does it matter? You know, why can't life just be about myself? In your old life, only things below mattered. But you've been raised. You have new life. Really, you have a new Lord and Master. And so I think of Augustine, who said this: no one longs for eternal, incorruptible, and immortal life unless he be wearied of this temporal, corruptible, and mortal life. Are you tired of searching in all the wrong places, in all the wrong things? How about we start pursuing the things that are above? So we have this heavenly pursuit, but also we are to have a heavenly mindset. Have a heavenly mindset. I think of this old story that has been going around for a while that states that many years ago, two salesmen were sent by a British shoe manufacturer to Africa to investigate and report back the market potential that was there. And so the first salesman reports back and says, there's no potential here, no one wears shoes. And then the second salesman reports back and says, there's massive potential here, no one wears shoes. Right? Your mindset makes a huge difference. Your mindset demonstrates your inward thinking. It demonstrates where your inward disposition is, how you view things. A mindset could be defined as this: a set of beliefs or a way of thinking that determines someone's behavior or outlook. So it's your beliefs that really change how you see the world. They change what you do. And so I think of the first salesman, he really had a negative mindset. He didn't see any potential. I mean, no one wears shoes, so why do they need shoes, right? But the other guy saw the amazing potential because he had this positive mindset of, wow, look at the potential here. Paul shows us the importance of a heavenly mindset because it determines our outlook and our actions. We must set our things on our minds on things above, not things on earth. This statement is kind of parallel to his previous statement, yet slightly different. In the first one, it was more about seeking, so pursuing, and then this one is more about setting your mind, setting your thinking on things above. So like a compass points north, so our mentality in life should point towards heaven. Our mindsets in life. Remember how Paul criticized the false teachers because they're emphasizing earthly things. They're saying, do not eat this, do not touch that. So really, they're just focused on these earthly things. They're using their earthly lives. If you think about, remember, they're all puffed up about visions and all these mystical things that they're experiencing. So really, they're using their earthly lives trying to experience these heavenly thoughts. But for Christians, we start with heavenly thoughts that change our earthly lives. And that's where the focus should be. So we need to start going to God's perspective. What is God's perspective on something, on this topic or that one? Not man's. What we don't think of what my fellow man's perspective. So this perspective of God's perspective is seen in one example of giving over getting. So if you have an earthly mindset, then it's all about getting, right? Because it's all about what can I get, what can I accumulate on earth. But if you have a heavenly mindset, it's more about giving. How can I be a blessing to other people? How can I store up treasure in heaven? What can I give to others? Because think about it, the heavenly mindset is focused on the eternal, not the temporary. The earthly mindset only thinks of the temporary. Think of the earthly mindset. Losing everything and experiencing discomfort is a horrible tragedy for the earthly mind. But for the heavenly mind, losing everything on earth and experiencing discomfort is merely a light and momentary affliction. See the difference there in your mindset on things above and things on earth? We need to focus on the amazing blessings that we have in Christ, our future hope, and also what Christ is doing in our lives now. What are His desires? So why set our minds on things above? And Paul again gives the explanation when he says, we died with Christ. Because you died with Christ. Now, regularly we think of dying. When we think of dying, we think of a bad thing. And that's typically the right response. But actually, Paul here shows us it's actually, in this sense, a good thing. In the spiritual sense of dying with Christ is actually a good thing. In Christ, you died when He died. This is a past action. It's already done. At salvation, your old life is dead. So our old lives with their sinful disposition has been stripped off. This controlling sway of sin is gone. Our old way of life, old way of living, is gone or should be gone. So this death with Christ actually frees us to have a heavenly outlook. It frees us because sin no longer holds sway over our minds. Our minds are now free to think on Christ. They're free to think on spiritual things. Our minds are no longer darkened, as the Bible points out how before salvation, our minds were darkened. And now our minds are no longer darkened, and our hard hearts are replaced. So because of this, set your mind on Christ. You're free to do so. You have reason to do so. So adjust your thinking to be more in line with your new life. So you used to think on earthly things, but no longer the case. So really, as I said before, be who you are. A captive freed is not going to run back to their captor. So don't go backwards. Don't go back to this old way of thinking. So set your mind on things above, also because we're hidden with Christ. We're hidden with Christ. I want you to think about a seed that is planted in a jar of soil. And so once you plant that seed, it's hidden within the jar. You can't see it if it's in the middle of the jar. So in one aspect, that seed is hidden, and therefore it's protected. So it's not going to wash away if you put any water in there because it's within that jar. It's within that soil. But in another aspect, that seed is hidden because you can't see it. It's not revealed to you. It's hidden now, but it's actually going to be revealed when it becomes a plant. So I also believe these are the two ways in which our Christian lives are hidden with Christ. In one essence, we're hidden and therefore protected with Christ. Our lives are hidden with Christ, so no one can get to them. No thief or robber can get to our life. Nothing can separate us from God's love. He holds us with His mighty hand. I think of Psalm 31:20 pictures this when it says, in the cover of your presence you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. So there is really security found when our lives are hidden with Christ. What a marvelous reminder that, you know, nothing can get to our lives, our eternal life, because it's hidden with Christ. And the other side is that our spiritual lives are hidden right now, but will be fully revealed in the future. They're not fully manifested at this time. So like that seed is kind of hidden away out of sight right now, so our spiritual lives are hidden from some people, and really they're not fully perfected in Christ as of now. So they're not really understood fully by everyone. I think of 1 Corinthians when it says the natural person doesn't understand the things of the Spirit. Not everyone can understand the full manifestation of your spiritual life. In one sense, it's hidden with Christ in God. But there's no other place that I want my life to be hidden than with God, in God, with Christ. because God Almighty holds my life in His grasp. So no one can stand up to God. No one can stand up to God and say, no, I want His life back. No, they can't. No one is better to hold my life. No one is stronger. No one is more merciful, just, and mighty to hold your life in His hands, to be hidden, your life to be hidden. So if our lives are hidden with Christ, that's even more motivation to set your mind on things above. Because in the end, you realize that's where my life is. My life is hidden with Christ above, so my mind will focus in that direction. Our lives are hidden with Christ, but also we will appear with Christ. When you have a baby, the topic of being hidden revealed comes to the forefront. Think of Silas when he was in the womb. He was mostly hidden. I mean, you can't touch him, you can't feel, or you can't see all of his features. Now, maybe you can use an ultrasound and you can see some features, but it's not really clear. You can't see, you know, like you are looking at me now, because most of that baby is concealed. You can also feel the baby kick and move around at times, but that baby is partially hidden. But once that baby is born, that baby is fully revealed. You get to see his or her facial features. You get to feel and touch their skin with yours. They're revealed. So in the same and the sort of the sense, Christ's full manifestation of His power and His glory will be fully revealed in the end. And everyone will understand and know, and every knee will bow before Him, because they recognize, wow, everything is revealed. Our spiritual lives will be fully manifest when Christ is fully manifest. And so this pictures Christ coming again, and where we receive perfect, glorified bodies. I think of 1 John 3:2, where it parallels this passage when it says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is." What a marvelous reality that our lives are hidden now in Christ, but will be fully revealed with Christ when He is revealed. And I love how the scripture here says, Christ, who is your life. Christ is our life. So He imparts life. He's the center around which life should be oriented. He's kind of like the sun around which our life orients itself. He's our focus. He's our center. He's really our lifeblood. Often think of the saying, hey, sports are His life. Work is her life. Music is their life. And what we mean by that is sports, work, or music, whatever your hobby is, that person, he finds life and all that it means within sports. So sports, music, another hobby, really dominates that person's life when we say sports is her life. And it influences what they do. It influences how they spend their time. So when we say Christ is our life, we mean that we find life and all that it means in Jesus Christ. So Christ should dominate, influence, and direct our lives. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Paul's saying, Christ is my life. He's living within me. So something to think about, is Christ your life? Do you look continually to Christ? Do you make decisions and you align your thinking with Him? If Christ is our life, then we can't help but have heavenly thoughts. Because that's where our life is. Our life is there, and it's also hidden with Him. And so I know that Christ gives me strength, encouragement, energy, and help that I continually need. And the fact that we will be revealed with him is even more motivation to set our minds on things above. Thinking on the spiritual things. Because your future is sure. You've been revealed with, you will be revealed with Christ and have this glorified body. So why not alter your mindset to things above? So while we look to the future in the manifestation of Christ in your spiritual lives, we also think of our lives now. We think of setting our minds and our pursuits on Christ now. So where is your mindset typically? Do you remember that your old life is gone, or is your mindset still there? Do you think of your life hidden in Christ? Do you think of Christ's future appearance as your and yours? Notice the pattern here. Remember the past, the present, and the future. The past work of Christ, you died, you've been raised with him. Your present hidden life where Christ is hidden, or your life is hidden with Christ, where your life is there. But also the revealing of Christ and your really revealing of the future manifestation of your life. So in all of this, our focus should reflect our new lives. Our focus should reflect what's new. Our focus should be transformed like that old barn into that new beautiful home. It's just completely changed from this old way to this new life. Because our identity as Christians is real and secure, yet it's hidden and will be revealed. You can be confident in God's past and present work, but also confident in his future, what he will do. So where's your focus? Is it on temporary earthly things, or is it focused on heavenly eternal things? You see, heavenly thoughts come from seeing the truth of our heavenly realities in Christ. In comparison to our heavenly realities in Christ, the world's desires and passions are blown out of the water. Because they're so much higher, they're so much better. They're more good. They last. They don't fade away. You can't be focused on things above and below. You know, you can't be looking in two directions. Yet most of us try to do that. We try to look in two directions, yet we neglect to appreciate that heaven is truly our home. So if you don't get that job, are you okay? Are you okay? If you aren't recognized for all the time and effort you put into something, is your world shattered? When you're getting made fun of for your beliefs in Christ, where's your focus? Because if you have an earthly focus, then that's a huge deal, being made fun of for Christ. Because people's opinions matter to you. You're extremely discouraged. But if you have a heavenly focus, then you understand that Christ was criticized as well. This is temporary. How God views us is what truly matters. With a focus on things above, we're more freed to live more for Christ. We're freed to live more for him. So what that means is we're more willing to do away with the stuff that's temporary. We're willing to give our money freely to others. We're more open to serve God with our time and our talents. We're more willing to sacrifice our comfort and our ease because we know that's not what life is about. Our concentration on small, trivial things is diminished, and our attentiveness to big, eternal things grows. Because in the end, when a heavenly mindset, that's what truly matters. You understand what truly matters in life. Those things are in line with our new position in Christ. So how about it? Maybe it's time to be who you are in Christ. In the past, we've not done that. We focused on earthly, temporal things, but maybe it's time to transform your focus to what lasts. start thinking and acting like who you are in Christ, that you have died and been raised with Him. Your old life is gone. So like a child who gets adopted and never thinks and acts like a child who is adopted, so we easily stray away from our new life, our new adoption in Christ. We act as though it's not true. But Christ, or Paul, brings us back to, this is true. Look at the truth. Your old life is gone, so now start aligning your thoughts and your pursuits with that. So really, stop looking backwards. And let's start looking upwards. Upwards to our precious Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He desires and what He wants. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're reminded that we are to look to the eternal. That's what truly matters. Look to our new lives in Christ. Align our focus, Lord. Lord, we stumble every day. We sin against You every day. Our focus is often in the wrong direction as these material things, these earthly things pull our focus. But Christ, I pray that You would help us to turn to You. Look to Christ. Look to You. Where You're seated in heaven, where our life is hidden, You are our lives. Let our focus be there. Let our mindset and pursuits be in that direction. You have saved our souls, and let us be grateful for that, and let our minds be in line with that. In Jesus' name, amen.